Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. Today is Tuesday, February 4th, and that's the second most special day in the year for us because it's my wife Rosemarie's birthday. Happy birthday, honey. I want to let you know that you're safe. No harm will come to you in this space. As always, my goal every week is to bring more love, more happiness, more joy, more compassion, more peace and abundance into your life. Each week, I ask you to listen to the show with the goal of taking one idea out of the show and implementing it into your daily life. I'm going to ask you, as always, at the end of the show, what that idea was. Today's show is on adjusting to life's changes. Before we get into it, just to let you know that I'm now a featured host on Blog Talk Radio, and my show page link is, the HTTP and all that stuff, blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. Then you click on follow below the show logo, which is a picture of the heart with the saying, when you get to the heart of the matter, it's the heart that matters. Then you'll automatically get a notice for every show. So be sure while you're listening to the show or afterward, if you download it, scroll down and look at the list of the past shows and download the ones that sound interesting to you. And naturally, feel free to share them with your friends. I got a favor. I'm going to start doing the show every other week, and I need your feedback. These shows range anywhere from 100 to 900 people that listen to any given show. So I don't have a clue how you find me. I don't have a clue of what shows, which ones, what do you want is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. You know, when I look at myself, I think of myself as a speaker. I get in front of a live audience. I get the feedback from the audience. I adjust accordingly. I've written several books. I'm a life coach. I got this radio show. But I don't know what you guys want, and you ladies. I don't know where you are in the world. I don't know if you're 10 or 110. I know Noreen and Brianna listen to it, and one of the changes Brianna's going to be going through, that's going to be hard for her. She's going to go away to college in the fall. So I need to know what you want so I can, within my limits, can create it for you. Needless to say, I'd rather spend the time preparing a show where 900 of you listen rather than 100. So I'm going to ask you again, please, I need your feedback. And my email address is jim@jimbrownspeaker.com, or if you come to the chat room, you can let me know in the chat room. So let's get started with today's opening. Funny story, I hope. A teacher is explaining biology to her fourth grade students. Human beings are the only animals that stutter, she says. A little girl raises her hand. I had a kitty cat who stuttered. The teacher, knowing how precious some of these stories could become, asked the girl to describe the incident. Well, she began, I was in the backyard with my kitty, and the Rottweiler that lives next door got a running start, and before we knew it, he jumped over the fence into our yard. That must have been scary, said the teacher. It sure was, said the little girl. My kitty cat raised her back and went, shh, shh, shh. And before she could say shit, the Rottweiler ate her. The teacher had to leave the room. The opening quote today. The world is too big for us. Too much is going on. There are too many crimes. There's too much violence and too much excitement. Try as you will, you get behind in the race in spite of yourself. It is an incessant strain to keep pace, and you still lose ground. Science empties its discoveries on you so fast, you stagger beneath them in hopeless bewilderment. Everything is high pressure. Human nature can't endure much more. This particular entry appeared in the Atlantic Journal editorial on June 16th, 1933. Now that's over 180 years ago. And I'm betting when you listen to it, you were thinking that this was something that was quoted from today. So it describes life perfectly today, doesn't it? So life is continually changing. Life is continually getting faster. And we all know that life isn't fair, don't we? Until it's not being fair to us. There's never a good time to get fired, never a good time to get sick or to go bankrupt or to lose a loved one. And you know that we've talked on this show many times before about how we claim our power and create with our thoughts, with our beliefs, and with our choices. Or some people happen to believe that they're a victim and things happen to us and we're just powerless to solve our problems or to adjust to the changes in life. The truth is, as much as we want to live in a world where we claim our power and accept responsibility for creating our life, sometimes all of us, myself included, slip into the victim mentality and we lose our power. So today we're going to look at the ways to regain our power and to adjust to the changes that all of us experience in our life. Now it's my belief that the number one key is how close we can come to releasing all of our expectations about how life should work. Now remember, my point of view is that we came here to come to school, and change and problems are the two biggest teachers we have in our life. So we have change. We have to learn how to adapt to the change, how to adjust to the change, whatever word you want to use, but change is going to happen. And the more flexible we are, the easier it's going to be to deal with those changes. The less flexible we are is going to create more drama and trauma in these changes, which obviously is going to affect our life in a negative way. So feeling or believing that you're entitled to having life in a certain way pretty much guarantees that your life's going to be miserable. We're not entitled to anything. And we got to get over that, whether we're talking about perfect health, whether we're talking about a job, a promotion, a relationship, a marriage, children, finances. It really doesn't matter what we're talking about. We aren't entitled to have what we have today forever. So what we have to do, obviously, is to become grateful for what it is we do have. And when I share the closing story, that's going to deal with that type of gratitude. So if you can delete the expectations from your life and get rid of being rigid toward anything and reject the concept that you're entitled to anything, I'm going to promise you that your life will be much happier no matter what's going on in it. Now, my cousin Mary Ann had a double mastectomy and two benign tumors removed from her spine. And we were talking on the phone, and she says, "Maybe this is just the new me." And I've told the story before about a friend named W. Mitchell. And Mitchell said he had two blips, in quotes, in the road of life. And the first blip was when he was driving a motorcycle in San Francisco, and it got sideswiped by a laundry truck. He got hit by it. The motorcycle slid underneath the laundry truck, igniting his gas tank, and he got third-degree burns over about 75% of his body. He had, I think, about 15 skin graft operations, and in one of them they amputated all 10 of his fingers. Then the second blip in his road of life, he was flying an airplane. And the plane in Colorado, and the plane wasn't properly de-iced. And the plane is either a plane or a rock, and it was about 150 feet in the air. And it just plummeted to the ground, and the other four guys that were in the plane got up, got off the plane. And Mitchell tried to get up, and he couldn't move. He had severed his spine. And what he said is that when he was in the hospital with that second blip, he was focusing. He used to be able to do 10,000 things. And now he could only do 9,000 things. And he was focusing on the 1,000 things he couldn't do. And then he was able to shift his focus to the 9,000 things he could do. And that's the challenge for each and every one of us as some of more serious changes in our life are presented to themselves. It's to focus on the positive. Focus on what you can do, not on what you can do. And in that regard, I love the Serenity Prayer. And most of you know it, but I'll go over it again because I don't always remember the order of it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Each one of you has a set of skills that enables you to cope with and deal with the changes life will throw at you. Our first challenge is to be able to access these skills when we need them, when life throws us that curveball, when life throws us that change. So before I go into the four changes I want to talk about today, and if I have time, we'll go into more. If not, we'll look at doing other shows on it. I probably could do a whole weekend workshop on some of these. First one, to me, of the skills we have is self-esteem. And I define self-esteem as the reputation that each one of us has with ourselves. And my suggestion here is that you use this affirmation. I can easily adapt, I easily adapt to these new circumstances. Think about something that you've already gone through, and remember, when you wondered if you'd ever gotten through this, and now when you look back, you think, well, that was no big deal. And that's true about everything. Some of these possibilities would be an illness, a loss of job, a death of somebody you love, a bankruptcy, a divorce, a marriage, a new job, a move. The important thing is that you know that everything you have to face, or everything you will face, you have all the skills that you need to get through it, and they are all inside of you. The key is to be able to tap into them when you need them. And also remember what I have here on my computer. This too shall pass. The next skill that you have is the ability to shift out of fear into faith. So when we get hit by a change, when we get blindsided by that change, fear just jumps right in and takes over. We got to be able to identify that that's fear and then just reject it and go into faith. You can focus on having the faith that will get you through it. Visualize yourself living the life that you want to live after you've successfully mastered these new circumstances or the change. We all know, don't we, that fear is an illusion. It's not real. Just like we know, like I've said before, David Copperfield does not make an elephant disappear. But it sure looks like it, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, now when we go on the cruises, they don't call them magicians anymore. They call them illusionists. So fear is a magic trick. Fear is an illusion. And it's only our belief that it's real that can make it seem real to us. So the first thing you want to do when you remember that you're in fear and that fear is an illusion, just fire it. That's it. You're done. Get out of here. I demand that you leave my life right now and never return. The third skill you have is the ability to deal with this change objectively. Now, that's a challenge because most of us are emotionally involved in the change. So the challenge here is to become disassociated from the change so that you can approach it as if you were hired, as if I hired you as a change consultant and asked you how to manage this change that you are going through. It takes you out of the emotion, and the way it was put to me by Tony Robbins is that just see this change as a movie on a screen. Well, then you're in the movie, aren't you? And you're tied into all the emotions. Well, then see yourself as watching that particular movie. And if you're still emotionally involved, then take a step back, see yourself as the projectionist in the back, project, and then you can see yourself watching the movie. If you're still not able to disassociate with it, then see yourself in a helicopter looking down on your home, seeing the you projecting the movie, seeing yourself sitting in the theater watching the change that's going on in your life. The further away you can get from it, the more disassociated you can become, which will enable you to deal with this objectively, and that we all have that ability. The key, obviously, is to tap into it. So say, you know, that I move through this change easily and with grace. Now, after you've fired fear, you can see this change as an opportunity to grow spiritually and mentally. Remember, you know who walks beside you on the path that you've chosen. And when you know that, when you connect with that, fear is impossible. Walk hand in hand with this person and know that you're safe. Number 6 is I use my ability to meditate to access my higher self and embrace this change as a gift from spirit, from the universe. Now, I've told you a couple times before, my favorite quote is from A Course in Miracles, and it is, what could you not accept if you but knew everything that happens to you, past, present, and to come, is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. Now, what that means to me is, what couldn't I accept if I knew that everything is a gift from God? Now, I ask the question, hey God, how's this a gift? This hurts. This doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel like a gift. But since I trust you, I accept that it's a gift. And I will continue to ask, how is this a gift? Until I clearly see the gift in this particular situation. When I can connect to my higher self, I can allow this guidance to create clarity, which will enable me to move through this change with grace and ease. Number 7 is that prayer is a source, or my source, of peace. Number 8, I have the ability to release my expectations when they don't contribute to my positive growth. The more expectations we have of life, the more difficult our life will be. It's kind of like trying to steer a river. We know that's never going to work, don't we? When our expectations aren't met, what do? We get angry, we get resentful, we get disappointed, we get upset, we get depressed. And a lot of times we get angry because we believe that we're entitled to have perfect health all our life, or we're entitled to that job or promotion, that pay raise, to have our job be the way we want it, to have our relationship to be the way we want it, to have our children be the way we want, or our in-laws or grandchildren or whomever or whatever. And we know that doesn't work that way. So again, it's having the ability at that time to let go of those expectations and just embrace the situation as an opportunity for you to go deeper, to go higher, to access your spiritual self, your higher self, and move through the change. Number 9, I use my flexibility as a tool to adjust to the changes in my life. We all know that being rigid isn't going to help us adjust to life changes. And life changes are going to happen. It doesn't make any difference. It's like the sun. The sun doesn't decide who it's going to shine on. And for those of you who are in colder parts of the world, you're thinking it does too. It's not shining on us. So number 10 is I accept every gift that life gives me, and I know that that every change is a gift, and I vow to find the gift in every change. I know that I will only find what I look for. Remember that. You want to find that this is terrible. You want to find that this is depressing. You want to be angry about this. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find whatever you look for. So you decide what you're going to look for in this change. Are you going to look for this change as an opportunity? Or are you going to look for it as poor me? Your choice. And last is I release the concept that I'm entitled to anything. If you don't feel that you're entitled to it, then you just deal with it as it is. What was yesterday isn't today. And that happens to everybody. What I want to do today, time permitting, is to get through 4 areas of change. So, the four that I want to do are health changes, job changes, relationship changes, finance changes. And I'd like to talk about retirement and marriage, but I'm not sure we're going to have enough time to do that. Well, let's see what happens. The first one is health changes. Some of you who know us know that Rosemarie has had a huge health change, and I want to share that story with you now. And that was on December 16th. She had thought that she had burned her back because she fell asleep with the heating pad on. And we called a friend who's the wound nurse at the hospital she works at. She said, well, you know, go into the ER. We called the burn center that's near us, and they weren't able to see us that day. So they said, go to the ER, and we called another friend who had worked where that burn center used to be, and she said, go to the ER. So we figured we'd go to the ER and get some gauze and some salve or whatever it was. And we get there. Long story short, it's not a short story. She has shingles and 103-degree fever. So they admit her, and she was in the hospital for 8 days. And the medication they gave her for the shingles deposited toxic crystals into her kidneys, and the kidneys are the organ that controls the blood pressure, and they didn't adjust the dose, and consequently, it was the Friday before Christmas, the 20th of December, her blood pressure shot up to 288 over 113, which I'd never even heard of before. And she called me at 1:30 in the morning, and I came in, and we sat, and we talked, and somehow there was a shift. And the way we were talking, for the first time in my life, it was my soul talking to her soul. And we went through an adventure, and we invited the seven dwarfs to go into her kidneys with fire hoses, and they're squirting the toxic crystals out of the kidneys. And then I asked her if she wanted to form a prayer group, and she did. And I asked her who she wanted to have there, and she told me. And I asked her if she wanted to be in the center of the group or she wanted to be in the circle, and she said she wanted to be in the circle. And I asked her who she wanted on her right hand to hold her right hand and her left hand. And we were sitting there very calmly and very peacefully, and like I say, being there united as soul to soul. And at 3:30 in the morning, somebody pushes the crash cart in the room, and there's six people outside the room talking about her as if we weren't even there. And they called a code on her. Now, I never understand how you can call a code on somebody when nobody was in our room and she wasn't on monitoring equipment. And this particular hospital didn't have a doctor there from 8 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning. And the doctor was supposed to come out of the ER when they called the code, but he or she didn't. Anyway, about 6 o'clock in the morning, she told the nurse not to give her any more acyclovir, to tell the pharmacy. And at 10 o'clock, I'm there, and the nurse brings in an IV, and I said, what is that? He said, well, that's acyclovir. I said, well, Rosemarie, you're not supposed to have that, are you? And she said, no. And I said, you can't hang that. So finally she gets out. But while she was in there, I got scared, terrified. You know, when we got married in 1967, and the vow was for better, for worse, in sickness and health, until death do you part. Well, you know, until death do you part is really romantic when you're 22. But when I was holding her hand, and death damn near did us apart, it terrified me. Rosemarie is the sun in my universe. And if that sun goes out, I don't know how I'd ever, ever be able to survive without her. But at the same time, I love her enough to have said to her, if it's time for you to leave your body, you go ahead. That's the biggest change that the two of us have dealt with in our 46 and a half years of being married together. And it's changed every part of our life. And it came totally out of the dark. like I said in the beginning, we were thinking that we were going to the ER to get burn medicine and bandages or whatever to be able to dress the burns. So we never know when those things will happen, do we? And she got home on the 23rd of December, and Christmas was the best Christmas we ever had in our life because we had each other. And I said to her this morning, I said, you know why this birthday is the best ever? And she said, no. I said, because you're here. And the big thing is that we have to learn how to appreciate every single day. Those of us who are married know that one of us is going to be left behind. And we got to get over all this stuff of being right, and I'm into that big time, letting that go or having it my way. Now, I do a program on stress, and I ask the audiences what causes stress. And people will tell me what causes stress, and invariably somebody will say time causes stress. And I'll ask if anybody has ever received a terminal diagnosis. And most audiences, somebody has. And they, I say, what impact has it had on your life? And the answer I get more often than anything else is, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I know the answer to my next question, but I want the audience to hear it from the person. I'll say, how is that? And they'll tell me, or they'll tell the audience, it taught me what was important in life. So I ask you, do you know what's important in your life? And if you know what's important in your life, is that the driving force of your life? Or, like most of the rest of the world, do you allow the urgent things in life to drive your life? Take a minute, if you will, and write down the three or four or five most important things in your life. And then see how much time you're spending on those each week. And that'll answer your question about how important those important things are in terms of your focus. So we're talking about health change. Talked about rosemary. We talked about learning really what's important in your life. You don't have to have a life or death situation to decide that. In other words, none of us are going to live long enough to go through everything to learn it by ourselves. So let's learn what's important in life, what the value of life is, what the value of relationships are, without having to be dragged through the mud and the fire or whatever else. So let's move on. The next thing that I need you to be aware of when we're talking about health changes is that your body is always talking to you. Nobody teaches us to listen to it. We have to learn how to listen to our body when it's telling us to slow down or whatever it's telling you. You know what it's telling you. Stop playing games with yourself and ignoring it, because we were taught, oh, you know, when the going get tough, the tough get going. If it's not easy, it's not worth it, you know, all this nonsense. And many people don't recognize your body as your best friend. You know, when your car breaks down, you can go out and get a new car. And not one of you has ever once put a cup of sand in your gas tank. But look at what we do to our body. And when our body breaks down, number one, if it breaks down and we're still alive, the quality of our life has changed significantly. Number two, it can finally just say, hey, that's it. I'm done. You're not going to listen to me. I'm shutting this whole thing down. So I can't overemphasize how important it is that each and every one of you listen to what your body is trying to tell you. And stop worrying about what other people think. Many, many shows, I've said, the most important book I've ever seen in my life is Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. So forget about what other people think of you. They're going to think that of you no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have or what job position you have. Some people are going to like you and some aren't. I had the biggest audience I've ever spoken in front of was 1,400 people. And I've had many standing ovations, and I watch how standing ovations work. People will stand in the front, and the other people are intimidated by them, and they stand up, so everybody ends up standing up. Well, this particular time, it was like everybody was jackhammered out of their seat from the bottom. And the guy who had invited me wouldn't give me a letter of recommendation because somebody told him that I told an off-color joke. And I was listening to the recording of it, and I'm thinking, and people were hooting and howling and whistling and that. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's not going to give me a letter of recommendation. I think, what am I going to listen to him, or am I going to listen to the way it was, the memory I had of how the people were? So it's hard. You know, one naysayer can just totally beat us down. We got to take care of ourselves. We got to listen. Now, the next thing is that you have to nurture yourself. I don't know how you nurture yourself, whether it's, you know, a massage, whether you go, whatever. You got to take care of your body. You got to nurture it. You got to rest it. You got to get it to relax. You know how you take care of your body. You know when it feels good. You know when it doesn't feel good. You got to love yourself. And you got to love yourself just the way you are. And right here, right now, I'm talking to you moms. Because you got a handicap when you got the title mom after your name. And many of you, unknowing to yourself, take care of your husband first, your children next, or your children first, your husband next. And when anything's left over, it's for you. And how many times, I remember my mom, when we were growing up, she would eat all the scraps because I don't know what we were going to do. Kids were starving somewhere in the world. And I wanted to say, well, just, you know, send them the food wherever they are. But, Mom, take care of yourself. Love yourself first. Because when you love yourself first, then you can come to me, your husband, or us, your children, with a full tank of gas and the ability to interact with us out of a place of love, not out of a place of obligation. So whatever you do in life, do it because you want to do it, not because you feel you have to do it. I mentioned to you that a minute ago about the program I do on stress. The title of that program is that stress is a point of view. And the first thing I ask an audience is, who disagrees with that? Looking for somebody who considers himself a victim. So take a look at what causes stress in your life. Just take the top one. Then go to the second one, and then go to the third one. And then you want to say, what would I have to believe in order for this situation not to be stressful? Over 80% of patient visits to doctors are stress-related. So stress is a huge component of your life and consequently of your health. So your job is how to learn how to manage that stress, how to minimize that stress, and that's your job. It's not stressful. You got to take care of it. You got to find out who believes something else that makes the same situation not stressful. So that takes care of health. Unless anybody has any questions, nobody's calling in. We got a couple people in the chat room, but I don't see any questions there. Feel free to post those questions and I can address them. And let's move on then to job changes. Getting fired, laid off, or having your position terminated never happens at the right time. I've been in management and I've had to fire a number of people. And there has never been one person that I had to fire that wanted to be there. Everything they ever said or did says, I don't want to be here. But they didn't have the guts to quit. They forced me to do their dirty work. So look at your job and say, hey, That's it. It's over. Either you have two choices here. You choose to change your attitude about your job, or if you don't change your attitude, then you've got to say, let's get out of here. Let's move on. As always, it's your choice. You get to choose whatever you want. And every job has a certain useful lifetime. Remember that our life is our own autobiography, and it's filled with many chapters. We don't like books that have chapters that are 50, 60, 70 pages. So when a chapter comes to a close in your life, whether it's health, whether it's job, whether it's relationship, whether it's finance, doesn't make any difference. Close the chapter and bless the chapter and move on and move forward into the next chapter of your life. Last show we did, which was 3 weeks ago, was on seeing life or living life as a journey of self-discovery. See this ending of a job as an adventure into something new. I have a friend in Utah who's been going through this for about 9 or 10 months, and it's a real challenge. Focus all your energy on creating something new. Imagine what kind of job you want. Imagine all the details. Now, as we've gone through this health situation with Rosemarie, then I'm looking and say, okay, what do I want to do? And here's a list of things I'd want to do. I'd love to give weekend workshops to teach you how to create your future, how to identify and eliminate the obstacles that you're going to create because of your limiting beliefs. Then I'm going to teach you how to overcome these obstacles. And at the end of the weekend, you're going to have a working plan on how to create your future. Then in my vision, most of you would hire me to be your life coach to guide you. And we would have periodic sessions, probably once a month, taking this vision into reality. Because I've spoken about change more than anything else I've talked about. And I know that we're creatures of habit. All of us, including myself, we keep doing it the same way over and over and over again. So changing that requires somebody to help us, somebody for us to be accountable to. Lots of times we don't like a boss, but having a boss makes us accountable. And those of us who have had our own business know that, you know, not having anybody to account to makes it real hard. How many of you remember when you went away to college and you moved away? And when you were home and you were in high school, mom would say, is your homework done? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did it. And you get done with class at noon and you got some homework to do and you got the rest of the day and there you are, or at least there I was at 10 o'clock at night doing my homework because I didn't have anybody that I was accountable to. So, jobs. So this is what I want is to do these kind of workshops. That would be one workshop. Then the next workshop I would love to give would be on how to be parents. Our sons are 45 and 40, and I look back on my life and how I raised them, and I would never raise them the way I raised them again. But I can't go back there. But I could help other people see what parenting is about, what being a child is like, and how we can be a parent, or at least be a father. And it's my attitude that being a parent is the single most important job anybody has in the world. Because you being a parent and you raising your children is what's creating the future of the society that we live in, of the entire world. The other one I'd love to do would be to give workshops on how to have a happy marriage, either to engaged couples or people that have been married. I see or go to a wedding and I say, I have an exercise that will guarantee that you will be happy the rest of your life, and it'll take you less than 30 seconds a day. And every single day, you tell your husband, you tell your wife, what I love about you is, and you fill in the blank. I said earlier that we find what we look for. When we're in love or in lust, we see only the beauty in each other. Then when we get married and something happens and our rose-colored glasses fall off and break, and we get these black glasses that find all the faults in him or faults in her or whatever. So what's the guarantee to a happy marriage? Is find the good in each other all the time. Look for it every single time, every single day. The other workshop I'd love to give is on how to retire. Retiring is a huge change. I looked up while I was waiting for you today, major changes in life. And retirement is one. Getting married is another one. Anyway, my point is that would be, those would be the kinds of jobs I would like. What would you like? What do you want to do? First thing you got to do is put it down, and then you visualize it, and you see it in all the detail with all the energy you have. Now, Friday starts the Winter Olympics, and those people are going to go on the podium and get a gold medal put around their neck, a bronze medal, a silver medal, and a lot of people are going to think that's the first time they've ever been on that podium and the first time they've ever had that gold medal put around their neck. They have been doing this since the time they were little bitty kids. And they've been in their mind's eye getting up there and having that gold medal put around their neck and having their national anthem sung to them. So it's the same thing with you. Visualize this. See what it's like. What do you want out of your life? Because it's all created out of energy, isn't it? You then have to create that energy and move that energy into motion. And what moves that energy into motion is passion and conviction and not necessarily a lot of action, but right action, inspired action, intuitive action. You are creating your future. You're going to bring it into reality. These are the kinds of things. This is the job I want. So I leave you with job changes by asking you a question. What do you want to do? The third one is about relationships. All of life is about relationships. We've had several programs on that, but we'll just talk about it briefly here this afternoon. The first relationship is with yourself. Then we move on to others. Most of us would move on to our Creator, then other people. And as I said earlier, we have to learn how to love ourselves. Very few of our parents knew how to love themselves. Therefore, they couldn't teach us how to love ourselves. So in order to have the happiest life possible, I got to love myself. And I got to love myself just the way I am. I got to get done saying, hey, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of that. None of that. I don't have enough education. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too tall. I'm too thin. I don't have enough money. I don't live in the right spot. I don't know the right people. All these reasons, they're all nonsense. Let them go. You got to learn to love yourself. So if mom and dad didn't know how to teach you because they didn't know how to love themselves, therefore they couldn't teach you how to love yourself, it is now your responsibility to love yourself. Teach yourself how to love yourself. And you have to be able to accept yourself just the way you are. You have to be able to let go of all the old beliefs that don't work. Now, those of us who are a little bit older, remember the heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali. And he used to say, I am the greatest. How many of you have ever said that to yourself? And right now I have a headset on, so I can't pound my chest with a mic on my chest, but that's what I do with audiences. I have you stand up and say, pound your chest and say, I'm the greatest. So if you can do that right now, do that. And say, I'm the greatest. Because I'm sure that most of you have never said that in your entire life. You got to believe in yourself. You say, the greatest what? Well, nobody has ever been created in all of human history that has been given the gifts that you've been given. And there isn't anybody that God loves more than he loves you. Okay, so into relationships. Love others for who they are, not for what they say or for what they do. Once again, accept yourself just the way you are, faults and all. Every one of us has faults, don't we? A major component of relationship is communication. And communication is your responsibility. It's not my responsibility to understand what it is that you're trying to say to me. It's your responsibility to say it to me in a way that I can't misunderstand it. So obviously that means I can't talk in a narrative for long periods of time. I have to ask you how you understood that or what did you hear me say. It's funny, at the end of programs I'll ask people, what's the most important thing you got out of this? And people will say things that I never said. So they're processing it through their filters, aren't they? We're all processing everything that's said through our filters. And what are our filters? They're our life experiences, our emotions, our beliefs. These are the filters through which we process everything and give the meaning that we give to it. And we've all heard about the party game that says, you know, I whisper something into your ear, and we don't need more than two more people, me, you, and a third person, and by the time it gets back to me, it's not going to be the thing I said. And those of you who used to watch the show The Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt, she had spirit beings appear to her, and they would say something to her, and she wouldn't even repeat it, which is a classic idea of what we're talking about. So communication is for you not to be misunderstood. I used to think that I only spoke one language, but I now know that I speak two languages. I speak English, and I translate what my wife says into what she means. And what she talks about is in terms of inferences. And inferences, in my opinion, are ripe for misinterpretation. And when they're misinterpreted, it causes frustration on the part of the person speaking and the person listening. The next issue in relationship is forgiveness. We've done many programs on forgiveness. Forgiveness is releasing the emotional attachment to the event. Forgiveness is like breathing. It's something we have to constantly do. We have to forgive ourselves, and we have to forgive each other. None of us are perfect. We're all here as students. We're all here to learn. We all went to school together when we were in first grade and other kids were in eighth grade. Is that any better? No, it's not any better. We're just at different places. We do things. We've all done things and said things that we wish that nobody would ever find out about. We've made mistakes. We've projectile vomited with the words we say. We've hurt other people's feelings. We need to forgive ourselves. There's people who are angry at you that you don't even know that are angry at you. Got to let it go. The next thing in relationship would be to see the other person's point of view. We all have different points of view. If I were to say to you, hey, I'm going to give you a list of universal things that I consider universal truths. And the first thing I say is that nobody sees life the way you do. Would you consider that to be a universal truth? And when I actually say it to somebody and you're at the other end of the phone, everybody says, yeah, that's a universal truth. Nobody sees life exactly the way I do. So we all have different points of view. And it's my belief or my point of view that what I want is for you to respect me enough to listen to my point of view. That's all. I'm not here to try and convert you that my point of view is the truth. No, this is the way I see life. This is the way I see it through my beliefs, through my values, through my life experiences. That's how I see it. That's my point of view. If it works for you, then, hey, make it your point of view. If it doesn't, then throw it out. I don't have any vested interest in that. I don't have to be right. I don't have to have the truth, because what's true for me today wasn't true for me 10 years ago, which I suspect is the same for each and every one of you, because each one of us is growing and evolving and seeing things differently. Our life circumstances create that for us. So you want to see the other person's point of view and simply say, hey, I never thought of it that way. Or, gee, that's another way to look at it. Remember, we're all entitled to our point of view. Just because I have a point of view doesn't mean that you have to accept it as yours. The next thing is to be honest or to be true to yourself. Now, I lost a friend because I'd gone to a program that she had given, and she emailed me the next day and asked me for my professional feedback as a speaker. I said, you won't like my feedback. And any of you who know me know that with 100% certainty, you aren't going to ask for that feedback if I tell you you're not going to like it. My mistake was my intuition told me, don't give her the feedback. I gave her the feedback, emailed me back later that night saying, ouch, ooh, gee, next time, you know, take out your kid gloves, be gentler, be this or be that. She had said in response to you won't like it, she said, oh, I'm a big girl, I can take it, you can dish it out. Well, anyway, my point is that what, from my point of view, she wanted was for me to change who I am in order to give her what she wants. Well, she didn't tell me what she wanted. She said she wanted to know, she wanted my feedback on, from a professional speaker's point of view, on the program she gave. So I gave it to her. Oh, well. But the point is, she hasn't talked to me since, and that hurts. And at the same time, do I want friends who expect me to be who they want to be so that I don't hurt their feelings? Or do I want to be friends with people who accept me the way I am? And the answer to that for me is I want to be friends with people who accept me just the way I am. So that ends relationships, and we'll move into finances, which looks like will be the only thing we'll have enough time for today, and I'll have to go through that. And then I'm going to ask you about where we want to go from here. But I do need feedback. Finances. So we've all had times where we've had more money and less money. And to me, we're all like accordion players. When we have more money, we can spend it. When we have less money, we can't spend it. And I suggest to those of you who are young, save for your retirement or save for a rainy day. Allocate everything based on percentages, not on dollars. And the ideal time to save money is when you get a raise. Save that money before it gets incorporated into your standard of living. And remember this, always pay yourself first. Pay yourself as if it's a bill. Take care of you, nurture yourself, love yourself. All this is part of the same thing, isn't it? Whether we're talking about relationships, whether we're talking about health issues, communication, no matter what we're talking about, it's all the same, isn't it? You got to take care of yourself. And I'm not saying it in an egotistical way as far as taking care of yourself. I'm just saying, hey, take care of yourself. Now, personally, I won't lend anybody any money because I've gotten burned almost every time I've lent somebody money. So if I can't afford to give it to you, then I'm not going to lend it to you. That's my my own point of view, if you will. Now, there's three other areas I'd really like to get into, but we don't have enough time today, and that would be getting married, being a parent, and retiring. Those are all huge areas that life changes for us. Retiring is huge. Getting married, even though this is a joyous thing. Now, boy, there's that a shift. And all of us who became a parent, know that's, especially moms. You know, dads can be a dad and their children grow up, they become adults, they can let them go. My observation with most moms is that's a job for life. And I think I told you the story about, I read in a paper about 6 months ago about a quote for an article about John Kennedy's artifacts, and they ran across a letter from President Kennedy's mother dated 1962 where he and Jackie were going to take a trip to Mexico. And she said, "Dear Jack, you know, people like you and I can't eat that kind of food. Tell Jackie to say an act of contrition in case anything happens. Love, Mother." And the author says, The letter isn't worth much, but it shows how life is. Once a mother, always a mother. So, today's closing quote is, what if the things you're going through right now were custom designed to set you up for some really big dreams coming true? Huge big dreams. This is a quote from, he sends these every day, and he calls himself the universe. I believe his name is Mike Tully, if you want to subscribe to his stuff. And he says, and I see a spiritual practice coming out of this as well. So here's our closing story today. This is an email, and it's to you. And the date is today, and it's from God. The subject is yourself, and the reference is life. This is God. Today I'll be handling all of your problems for you. I do not need your help. So have a nice day. I love you. P.S. And remember, if life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it yourself. Kindly put it in the Something for God to Do box. I will get to it in my time. All situations will be resolved, but in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it by worrying about it. Instead, focus on all the wonderful things that you have present in your life right now. If you're stuck in traffic, don't despair. There's people in this world for whom driving is an unheard of privilege. Should you have a bad day at work, think of the man who's been out of work for years. Should you despair over a relationship gone bad, think of the person who had never known what it's like to love and to be loved in return. Should you grieve the passing of another weekend, think of the woman in dire straits working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to feed her children. Should your car break down, leaving you miles away from assistance, think of the paraplegic who would love the opportunity to take that walk. Should you notice a new gray hair in the mirror, think of the cancer patient in chemo who wishes she had hair to examine. Should you find yourself at a loss and pondering what life is all about, asking what is my purpose, be thankful. There are those who don't live long enough to even get the opportunity. Should you find yourself the victim of other people's bitterness, ignorance, smallness, or insecurities, remember, things could be worse. You could be one of them. Now, you have a nice day. Sign God. God has seen you struggling. God says it's over. Do you believe him? As always, I close by asking you the question. What is the most important thing that you got out of today's show? I asked you in the beginning for your feedback. I'm at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. Join me in 2 weeks, which will be February 18th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And in closing, I send love from my heart to your heart. Please receive this love. And please share this love with everybody you meet. There is an infinite supply of love. I love you. Bye-bye.